Hello and welcome to Life is Like a Detective Novel, where I discuss how the human mind has a natural desire to solve the mystery of life. My name is Bailey Alexander, and through these stories and interviews in my latest book, called Personal Legends of Piemonte, we discover how 12 Northern Italians fulfilled their destiny. Basically, how they figured it out, either by letting life unfold, or by celebrating the treasure beneath their feet, and often by rearranging the details until the product is perfect. And Piemonte produces so very many of Italy's finest products. I lived in Piemonte for 7 years, and eventually it began to feel like a pilgrimage, not necessarily one in search of penance or a blessing, but it became known that I was there to learn some very key lessons, one that I could take to my home here on Lake Garda in northern Italy, where we eventually ended up, but it was our first home here in Europe. Such are the cycles of life. Piemonte is located in the northwest region of Italy, nestled up against the French, Swiss, and Italian Alps. And the Piemontese are formed by the mountains. They're tough and they're industrious. And they're also worth reading about. It is a pristine place. And I used to think it was the secret that needed to be told. But it would appear the secret is getting out with other books and films. They've recently come out, including mine called The Personal Legends of Piemonte, where I interview wine and cheesemakers, herbalists, a famous chef, a bar owner, a teacher, a bureaucrat, and a car mechanic named Luigi. Today we meet the family who run Pianbello Winery. Not only did I buy my wine from them, but they became very good friends. So hey, this is called Chapter 10, and I named it Hestia, meaning hearth. And I begin the chapter with a poem by Luigi Veronelli. The vineyards of Loazzolo are so difficult and steep that here I heard the earth talking through the vineyards to the sky. By drinking the wine of these vineyards, we can get closer to the gods. And of course, it's a little poem by Luigi Veronelli. So let's begin. Long ago, the oh-so-small town of Loazzolo was known as Lupitiolum, the place of the wolves. Such an ancient name explains her Roman origins and lets our imagination run wild with wolves roaming the neighborhood. They climbed hills that rose 600 meters above sea level. And if we no longer hear them howling at the moon, we can still see their symbol on practically every bottle that Pianbello Winery produces, one that may contain Moscato, Chardonnay, Dolcetto, Barbera, Cortese, or Pinot Noir. And they also produce a sweet wine known throughout the world, one worthy of discussion. It's a shining star amongst all those grapes grown on steep hills where the wolves of Loazzolo once roamed. And today might be the right time to remind the reader that Loazzolo is the smallest Italian town to boast a DOC, a DOC, which means Denomination di Origin Controllato certification. When these letters are placed on the label, the DOC, it's most impressive, guaranteeing quality assurance and authenticity. It proves that the product adheres to specific production regulations and standards set by Italian wine authorities. And I might be forgiven for assuming Italy has become the top authority, having surpassed France in both quantity and quality, a fact made official back in 2015. That may not surprise lovers of Italian wine, but the following did surprise me. Piemonte doesn't produce the majority of wine. They produce around 5%, but due to overall high quality, accounts for well over 18% of her exports. I propose that this suggests Piemonte's inherited task might lean towards preserving tradition without being a jealous custodian. Fortuitously, Pianbello produces the wine that earns the DOC called Pisito di Moscato, made from the late harvested grapes left for an extended period of time in order to concentrate their sugars and flavors. This gives them time to absorb all those flowers and herbs, not to mention the peaches, apricots, orange blossoms, and honey. It is refreshing and the locals love it. The production of Moscato wine is limited, appealing to wine enthusiasts living across the continent. It's known as liquid sunshine and benefits from another kind of microclimate packed with calcareous clay-like soil so essential to wine. Although it can add acidity to the wine and delay ripening, it also lengthens exposure because of the significant slope from southeast to southwest called Suri, which translates into sunny. a blessing amongst many with little need to weed or fertilize their vineyards. My personal relationship with Pian Bello has enjoyed a natural arc. I used to indulge in Dolcetto with passion, and now find myself embracing Nuvolet Chardonnay with genuine, albeit mild, affection. Like many neighbors, we're promiscuous. With so many vineyards, Piemonte practically insists on it. If I drank wine with abandon in my misspent youth, I'm inspired to savor every sip as I pass through middle age. We're surrounded by so much wine, it makes me wonder if this is why local women appear to drink less than other tribes. A type that travels less and remains loyal to their own kind of cultural reality. I could be wrong, but I'm right about having reached my Goldilocks moment regarding both diet and neighbors. A cynic might suspect it's the distance between everyone's property that enhances affection. And make no mistake, I have battle scars from a previous address. Not in any homes called my own in Europe. No, the North American litigious disease is not that contagious, even if one has witnessed it across the pond. I might argue this is where Italian bureaucracy could be construed as a benefit. It discourages lawsuits. They take a lifetime. But back home in Seattle, after we bought our houseboat with great enthusiasm and naivete, I became familiar with a darkly funny phrase, one that slid too easily into our lexicon. Lawsuits had replaced sex. Neighbors became fanatical, at least ones of a certain age, those with just enough disposable income to do damage. To be fair and slightly nostalgic, I experienced halcyon days growing up in Seattle. Any dispute could be settled over a cup of coffee. Bruised egos would heal, and neighbors would eventually get along without going to court. But once the dreaded home association came into play, it was obvious our society was entering a new era. When we bought a houseboat, the home association's litigious ways became personal. It felt like extortion. Even if you didn't want to engage, you had no choice. Therefore, we moved and then left the States. It was fate. But that doesn't stop wicked recollections from following me everywhere I go. From far away, I still get wind of litigious home associations running people's lives from sea to shining sea. Perhaps no one's perfect, including countries, each with its own pathologies. Either way, expectations were low upon arrival. Yet it didn't take long for Piemonte to restore my faith regarding neighbors in general, and property in particular. For example, I can be as territorial and binary as any American. I still carry a U.S. passport. When my bucolic life began to unfold on a new frontier, I couldn't help musing on the notion that the locals were quasi-communistic. Maybe it's why this party is alive and well in the Emilia-Romagna region, in Bologna, its capital. Residents who appear as content as any city in the north. Bologna is a place I like to visit each year, thought of as the food capital of Italy. The bolognese dish alone is worth a three-hour trip. Here in Loazzolo, I was forced to share my land, albeit temporarily. Italians or Swiss and German tourists cycled or walked up to our gate asking if they could hike over our hill. Now that I think about it, most didn't even bother to ask. When I tried to discourage them by saying no, once I turned my back, they went over the hill anyway, without much success. If I caught a neighbor hunting for wild boar in the distance, there was no need to complain. After all, they were holding rifles. Eventually, it became easier to accept hikers and hunters roaming about. It's liberating to let opinions go, uncomfortable at first, until it becomes a luxury, and then it just makes you laugh. I didn't hike or cycle much, but this didn't stop me from relishing the chance to inspect another person's property up close. Pian Bello impressed me immediately. Every type of flora stood out, and I knew Emmy played a part. Nothing fancy and nothing neglected, no matter how small. She inspired advice. During an early visit, I expressed concern about my hortensias. There were dozens of hydrangea lined up along our driveway, and they needed attention underneath the summer heat. The next day, Emmy arrived at my home and spent 2 hours offering advice. I had so many questions. As we roamed the property, she answered each one. I thought she must have all the time in the world. Alas, I was wrong. Emmy is everywhere. Some say that work is the passport to serenity for the Piemontese. If true, Emmy is the essence of this idea. This tribe has little time to navel gaze. For instance, one day I'm off to shop for groceries down in Canelli. A large part of this excursion is spent winding around Pianbello's property. Long rows of vines guide me past their cantina, then their home. On the upper balcony, several sheets of bright white linen are flying in the summer wind. No doubt they're dry by the time I cruise by their last vine. Down in town, Emmy and I arrive at the butcher at the same time. She's got a team of workers and family members to feed on their next break from work. Emmy doesn't have the time to ask how I ended up in Loizzolo. Her list is long, and she rifles through items as the butcher takes various pieces of red and white meat out to be carefully cut, then collected, and placed on white pieces of butcher paper before typing in the price. Sometimes he goes into the back room, talks to a colleague who opens up the walk-in freezer and disappears. They coordinate clients as we take our numbers and wait patiently. Italians like to discuss their choices, share recipes, and receive confirmation. Everything is fresh, and each piece must be weighed one after the other. Emmy's still chatty and funny, noting my modest collection of groceries, randomly placed in my carrello, my shopping cart. We don't collide at the cassé, we pay in separate lines, but I do see her while driving home. She is a force and can't be missed, her car practically on top of my back bumper. I'm slightly alarmed until I catch her in the rearview mirror, smiling happily and waving at me. She's got places to go, people to feed, a cantina to manage, and a daughter named Martina waiting for her at the front office. Now time to fill my own cantina, modest though it may be. I drive through the tall black gates at Pianbello. Emmy appears out of nowhere and then evaporates into thin air. I crane my neck and see her careening towards the tasting room. Predictably, I've chosen a few cases of Chardonnay and Dolcetto, and then sit across from Martina as she methodically processes the bill. She wears glasses and her youthful eyes squint, laughing easily with a sweet temperament that looks wistfully out the window. She's looking forward to racing cars around Loizzolo and Bubbio and beyond. In the summer they race, and Martina cannot wait. Their cars go really fast, and when they cut those tight corners, it may take your breath away. I've walked down to the end of our road to witness the drama. Never did see a crash, and do they have fun. This is how they occupy their off time, until they cross the finish line. At regular speed, then line up their cars at a bar down in Canelli, and eat and drink and celebrate victories with their families. The children race around the bar. The adults are exhausted and proud, and make me think of Luigi the Wizard. I make my selection, and Martina places the cartons on top of one another on a hand truck. We sit down in the office as she studies the bill with insect-like determination. When satisfied, she hands it to me, waiting to make sure we're in agreement. While filling up my trunk, the fine wine, I can see Emmy parading up and down rows of tomatoes and potatoes and basil. The fennel and eggplant catch her eye, and she leans down to tend tubes of water to make sure they reach the lettuce at the end. She turns around and heads our way, but must first fuss over some pink tea roses that create a charming border outside the tasting room. She throws me a cheerful ciao, and I pass it back, and she's gone. I say arrivederci to Martina, and she walks back into the office. I feel a gravitational pull to visit their garage, as if to confirm what I saw last time. I look up to see if they're still there, one tractor and two tiny cars, carefully placed on their perch above, in the same way I stow suitcases on the top shelf of our own garage. The Pianbello enterprise is vast and well-organized, because Emmy is everywhere. Almost home, I reach the top of another hill, where I'm treated to a row of bright white Italian Alps. The contrast with the blue sky appears so clear and uncontaminated. I wonder whether all of Piemonte will be designated a UNESCO World Heritage Site. Its industrious nature encourages green and red grapes, but the wine stores, the enotecas, provide so many varieties it's chaotic to tourists. It's like their sartorial style. They're constantly tailoring products to adapt to the fluid global wine market. If style is a complicated way of saying simple things, then Piemonte can convey simple ideas in a complicated way. The spectrum of choice is vast. If Pianbello boasts only three generations of winemaking, the viticulture dates back thousands of years. Modern life, deep-rooted in history, the family spent decades buying land, and now they work hard, with deep gratitude, to continue growing precious fruit. A short summer tour to Africa may break up the work. Their surroundings surely help ease the effort. What with such a heady mix of mountain air combined with warm ocean breezes and dynamic geologic activity, a fantastic canvas of terroirs, ideal for fine wine. No wonder they appear content. I do not doubt that work is the passport to serenity for many Piemontesi. Italy could well be the capital of biodiversity, and Emmy is at the center, the hearth, a source of love and light. She offers continuity and offers me friendship. In the same way tractors are on display in their garage, family and tradition are on display each day I pass Pianbello. Their soil reflects their attitude. It is authentic. Travel over time opened my mind, and Emmy, along with her tribe, has changed it. And hey, thank you so much for stopping by for a listen. I have a book signing for Personal Legends of Piemonte in Rome on April 10th at the Almost Corner Bookshop, and I'm doing a podcast next week, and I'll announce that in a couple days. And the book, Personal Legends of Piemonte, is available in both English and Italian. The first half is in English, the second in Italian. So if you're getting ready to visit Italy, you can brush up on your Italian. And additional information can be found on my website at baileyalexander.com. Thank you so much. Ciao for now. Arrivederci.